It struck me as interesting that a man could read through 1,200 pages of the Bible and he fastens onto something that he thinks is pornography. And that shows you why the Bible says to fear all things with fear. Let me give you the briefest explanation of this passage, which shouldn't give you a moment's trouble. All this passage is saying is that God saw that the people of Israel and Judah had turned against him, and that they had so turned against him that they were like a wife who had turned away from her husband and turned to her own lovers. And God wished these people to know just how wicked they had been. So he used strong language. He said, what you are doing is you are committing adultery. The same thing. You have gone after other lovers, which means you should worship me as God, but you worship idols. And the reason that God has used this passage in the book of Ezekiel was to instruct the Jewish people to see how rotten they were in his sight. He used strong language to make them realize how impure in his sight they were. I want to ask you if you can show me one thing that he said of God in that passage in Ezekiel. Just one thing there that he said of him. In fact, as you read that passage through, you can see the abhorrence on the side of God with what they are doing. I don't want to tell you that God looks from heaven and sees nations turning away from him. He sees prostitution and adultery every day in the world around him. And what makes us think that God should not call a spade when he sees it? I met a Muslim man in Malaysia some time ago who said you shouldn't find things like this in the Bible, that God talks like this. And I said, well, you know, why not? He said, no, you should speak nicely to the people. He's a good God, he should talk nicely to them. I said, you mean when a woman commits adultery, you talk nicely to her? I said, he calls a spade, and on judgment day he will do the same. He will reveal to us how rotten and how wicked people are by nature. He will not gloss over anything. Ladies and gentlemen, the big question is not to sit here all afternoon debating points against the Bible. You only have a few. They are so insignificant, the ones I've raised. I've shown that some of them can be leveled against the Quran, others can be easily explained. But I come to my conclusion by saying that the Christian asks the big question, why do we believe the Bible is the Word of God? I've shown you that it's perfectly authentic in relation to the arguments that I've heard. I can show you that from all the other arguments I've read. But the one thing about the love of God that we read in the Bible that strikes me is the fullness of it. Not long ago, here I was in Durban about 3 weeks ago, and I was walking down Smith Street. As I walked down Smith Street, I met an Indian man, and he looked at me, saw me waiting for my motor car to be fixed, and he looked at these new cars, and he said, you can't buy those things today, they cost too much, so I was laughing. I said, you're right. We got in a conversation, he said, where do you come from? I said, I come from Benoni. Oh, he said, I know some Christian people there. I said, oh, are you a Christian? He said, yes. I said, well, then how long have you been a Christian? He said, 3 months. So he said, are you a Christian? I said, of course. I said, I have been a Christian for many years, I'm having a debate here. Oh, he said, I saw that. Can I come to it? Yes. So I said, tell me. He said to me, tell me. You must tell them one thing about the debate, he says. You must ask them one question. In which book do you find the love of God revealed at its fullest? And I thought that was amazing, coming from a man who only been 3 months a Christian, that he had perceived that the Bible reveals the love of God in a way that the book does. And I don't have to work hard to prove that to you. Some time ago when I was negotiating the symposium with Mr. Buckets, I was in his office, he mentioned to me that God is listening to the son. And he was quite pleased about that. He said, my son is just getting to the age where I'm beginning to communicate with him. And I could see he was delighted, and I thought, well, I said, I hope God blesses you another one, because I've got two. And any father of any children will know that there's nothing more precious to a man than his son. Because the son comes from him, it's part of him, is irreplaceable. And Muslims have, it's coming soon, Bakri Eid, the great festival, where you commemorate the great time when Abraham, the prophet, was called upon by God to give his son for God to show his love for him. And I'm sure you agree that that was the greatest display of love that any man could ever have given to God. To be willing to give his son for him. If there was a greater way, I think God would have asked for it. But the Bible records that incident, not to commend Abraham, but to reveal to us what is coming. I have one question. If the greatest way that God, that a man could ever show his love for God would be to even give his own son for God, what would be the greatest way that God would ever reveal his love to the human race? And I believe it goes without question that the logic of that must be seen through. And it comes in the verse that you find throughout in the Bible, and this is love, that God sent his own son into the world as an expiation for our sins. He came into the world, and God even gave his own son, Jesus Christ, to the fullness of his love for us. Here you see the perfection of God's love revealed. It cannot be improved on. It cannot be matched. just as Abraham's love for God could not be improved on. And the interesting thing is that as Christians, we do not believe that that was done just purely because God wanted to test his love. If that was just a test of Abraham's love with nothing more, then a man once showed more love for God than God has ever shown for man. And that's unthinkable. But it was a sign, I can't go into it, it's another talk entirely, but it was a sign of God's love to come for us in Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself said, in that passage in John chapter 8 we were talking from earlier, he said, your father Abraham looked forward to see my day. He saw it and he was glad. I've seen Jesus' day as well and I'm glad. And I'm sure that every single Christian here today joins with Abraham in looking at the Son of God who was given to us in his love and he's glad. And that is to me one of the proofs for many, one of the proofs that this Bible is the Word of God to the Christian people, because it shows us the whole fullness of his love. And in closing, I want to say that this Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was given to us, was given as a gift. And if he was given as a gift, then the point that we want to make is that we have learned from God to do likewise. We want to expand that love of God that he's given us. We also want to give gifts. And this Bible is prepared to give as a gift to any single Muslim here or anywhere. I don't think you should have any objection to writing to us for a free Bible, because it's a booklet. Is the Bible God's Word, written by Mr. Ahmadida, published by Mr. Buckus of the Islamic Propagation Center. On page 41, you are told, if you do not own a Bible, and if you are a Muslim, you will get a free copy from the address at the bottom of this page. I looked at that and I saw the address, lo and behold, my home address. So the Islamic Propagation Center is prepared to endorse what we are doing. We are offering you Muslims the Bible as the Word of God free of charge, and the Islamic Propagation Center says, by all means, get one from them. I heartily encourage you to do so. All I ask in closing, it is written on this little pamphlet that you do three things. One, you promise not to deface the Bible in any way. By that I mean, I think this booklet of Mr. Dibbs, it is suggested that you take this passage of Ezekiel and you draw lines through. I noticed the Bible Mr. Buckus gave me, the King New International Version, he drawn yellow lines through the passage that he thought were obscene. And Mr. Didat says, draw a different colored line through different passages. That is the most negative way you could possibly approach any book. How would you feel if I said to the Christians today, get a Quran, I will tell you the passages that you can find fault with and draw lines through them. You'd be very offended. And so would I. Ladies and gentlemen, I appeal to you both as Christians and Muslims. The only way to find out between the Quran and the Bible, which is the Word of God, is to read both books. I exhort and encourage Christian people not to read the Quran for no other purpose but to find fault with. I have, although I'm a Christian, I've done everything in my power when I read that book to let it speak its own message to me, to understand it and to follow it. And I would appeal to you, you may have a Bible by all means, but we will be upset and offended if you deface it. But if you promise not to deface it, we will let you have a free charge by all means. We ask you to respect it in the same way you would expect us to respect the Quran. And I appeal to Christians, do respect the Quran in the same way you would like Muslims to respect the Bible. What is needed between Christians and Muslims is a greater sense of respect, a greater sense of love for one another's books. Because there are half the people in this world are either Christian or Muslim. And there's a great need that between us we learn to highly respect another man's book. 800 million Muslims in the world believe the Quran is the Word of God. It's not for us to just get purely negative about it. 1,000 million Christians in the world believe the Bible is the Word of God. It's not for Muslims to try and cast aspersions on it and suggest that teachers could not read things like this. And lastly, undertake to read the Bible openly with an open mind to discover its teachings. That's all we ask you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the words of the Prophet, of the Apostles, I say to you that I commend you to God. I commend you to the Word of His grace. This book, which is able to build you up and is able to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. May God bless all of you.
Mr. Yusuf Buckus now has 10 minutes in which he made it last.
Gentlemen, I think I heard John Gibson saying that what is important is the engine, not the little scratch on the bodywork. So, I have given a reference from the Bible. Did you read, ladies and gentlemen, in your Bible, these words? for there are three that dwell God in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And he said, yes. I said, but in all modern versions of the Bible, all these words, whole chunk, have been thrown out. And I mentioned strong words as a fabrication. And it is thrown out from the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, from the New International Version of the Bible, and every modern version of the Bible has omitted all these words as an addition, as a concoction. And then I stated that if what I am saying is false, then the Eucharist must state and prove that all these words, for they are three, that dwell in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. This is the engine. So he must say it is present in the Revised Standard Version of the Bible. It is present in the New International Version of the Bible. It is present in all modern versions of the Bible. But ladies and gentlemen, I also stated that if the Eucharist fails to say that these words are present in these modern versions of the Bible, then it is proof that he also knows that it is an interpolation. This is the engine which has been thrown out from all modern versions of the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think I need to respond to the other point, because there is a distinct difference between an explanation and proof. What I have presented to you this evening was evidence, indisputable evidence, from within the covers of the different versions of the Bible, which you yourself, ladies and gentlemen, could verify for yourself by checking in your own Bible, right here and now, or in the comfort of your home. Ladies and gentlemen, I recently received a pamphlet entitled Candid Outburst. I suppose this pamphlet has been distributed throughout the country. And I presume that most of you have seen this pamphlet already. It is called Candid Outburst. And it is described as Volume 1, Number 2, 9th April 1985. Now, as soon as one reads this pamphlet, one will have no hesitation in coming to the conclusion that the author of these words is a sexual pervert. The psychologist Freud, F-R-E-U-D, the specialist on sexual behavior and perversion, he would have had a royal time in analyzing the mind of the author of the words of this pamphlet. On receiving this pamphlet, and on closer scrutiny of the words contained in this pamphlet, I discovered that all the words in this pamphlet were extracts from the Bible itself. And ladies and gentlemen, I would like the chairman to confirm that these words in this pamphlet are in fact from the Bible. I'll call upon the chairman to confirm that this pamphlet that I'm talking about, the words contained in here are extracts from the Bible itself. Ezekiel chapter 23.
Because we will certainly take your word for it, as chairman I will not be involved in any trouble.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Ladies and gentlemen, this pamphlet was submitted to the Publication Board of South Africa for its decision. And the Publication Board has two duties on its board. Do you know what duties are? They are three. And do you know what? These three and the other Christian members on the board, probably not knowing that these words were from the Bible itself, unwittingly gave a decision which affects the Bible. And do you know what their decision was, ladies and gentlemen? Their decision was to ban this pamphlet. This pamphlet has been banned by the Publication Board of South Africa. And all the extracts in this pamphlet are taken from Ezekiel chapter 23. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have the original banning order with me on the Publication Board of the Standard. And if the chairman will again confirm that this is an authentic banning order of this pamphlet, then I will proceed further.
Thank you,
Right?
So the word is taken, ladies and gentlemen, since all the words in this pamphlet are banned, and since the words from this pamphlet are from the Bible itself, it would mean that the Bible itself... I know, as a fact, that the whole book, Lady Jacqueline's Lover, has been banned in South Africa because it contains one undesirable word. One undesirable word. But in the Holy Bible, there is not only one undesirable word, there are 9 extracts and many, many more. And the Publications Board has banned these 9 extracts which appear in the Holy Bible. And if the Publications Board could ban a whole book, Lady Jacqueline's Lover, for one undesirable word, only one, what would its decision be? If it found that the 9 extracts, I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, 9 undesirable extracts which the board has banned are in fact from the Bible itself. Ladies and gentlemen, you even if this counts all the dozens of arguments and all the evidence, overwhelming evidence which I have produced, presented to you, even if you discount them, the fact that there are many undesirable, vulgar, and obscene words in the Bible, and the fact that there are 9 extracts from the Bible which have been banned, this alone would be proof that the Bible is not the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we have considered the Old Testament and the New Testament. The world is groping in darkness. People like Ronald D. Bezzar have prepared to swallow 100% of their own urine. Ladies and gentlemen, we need guidance in spiritual matters too. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time that you read now Al Quran, the last testament of God. Indeed, in the Holy Quran, we read, فَجَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. Indeed, they have come to you a new light and a perspicuous book. So read Al-Quran, the last testament. And if you don't have, you cannot afford to buy one, you write to the center, we'll give you one free.
Please, would you let us, just let us close the meeting, please. Would you please let us close the meeting? We want to thank you, Mr. Buckers, thank you, Mr. Gilchrist, for bringing these arguments, and we do thank everyone who has come today for coming here. We do ask you as you go home, we've had some heated times, we've got excited. Go home, consider these arguments, and let us do what Mr. Gilchrist suggested and respect one another and one another's books. We do thank you again for coming, and we thank particularly all those who put up the posters and who did all the work to make this meeting possible. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Thank you.